Chapter 15. Compassion is shown, but at what cost? Sleep, or lack of it, seemed to be what Chase was experiencing that morning after following the crowd and the teacher down the hill. He quickly ate the meal set before him at the inn where he had stayed at. A man of his position rarely paid when he traveled, as many sought to gain his favor and possibly future mercies by the act of a self-serving kindness. A servant boy had even fed and saddled the horse, which was now waiting outside the door. He smiled and gave the lad a coin, this to the amazement of those nearby. This was not a normal habit, as one such as Chase, he seemed less the soldier today and more a man whose heart beat warm within him. The coldness of his military life seemed to be less there today than usual. The fight between the two natures had raged for some time now, and today he sensed the battle turning, yet he had no idea how. He had decided, though, he had to speak with this one he had been following and observing per his orders. He wanted to for himself, but even more for his servant, his close friend. His friend Jason was paralyzed and bedridden. A fear had overtaken him that no military skill Chase possessed could drive away or destroy. It somehow held him fast, caused him anguish and despair. Chase somehow shared this, even though he had been trained and warned so many times against it. He had become close to this man, and he hurt deeply for him. Deep down inside, he felt he was somehow the cause of Jason's sickness, must also somehow be part of the cure. 1 minute so sure, the next minute doubting everything. What was going on inside of him? He had come all this way to ask of this one, this speaker, this teacher, this man, this what? He thought for a second. What he almost said. He could be killed for such a thought. He could have killed others for such a thought. He was trained and raised to serve Rome and only Rome, bowing before its rulers, making others do the same. How could he then dare to think of this simple man with thoughts of authority and honor reserved only for royalty? Something bigger than himself, than his servant's sickness, even than this crowd, was at work here, and he could feel it. He thought back to what he had told Jason, that God told him to be here and to speak to this man, this prophet, this... His mind was drawn back again to the sound coming from down the street. The crowd that had existed the day before was now forming again, as this man, or this person, or this, well, whoever he was back again at the center of this group. Chase mounted his horse, rode slowly down the street, taking up a position at the eastern edge of the crowd, positioning the early morning sun at his back for a better view. Being trained to be observant of all that took place around him, little went unnoticed by Chase. He saw the three children run laughingly at the outer limits of the crowd. He also saw some men who were clearly here for what they could get materially, not spiritually. They moved about, trying to sell their wares to those in the midst of the crowd, which seemed far more interested in the man now beginning to speak. Also not unnoticed was this strange man that Chase had seen beneath the tree the day before. He watched him closely as he slowly and cautiously inched closer and closer to the crowd. The man seemed to barely take notice of Chase, somehow completely focused as if being drawn by an unseen hand. Then all of a sudden, the man threw off his robes and revealed the sore-covered body. It was clearly the repulsive signs of leprosy. The mood changed at once. Chase was prepared to move forward and calm the crowd if necessary. The last thing he needed was a riot on his hands. He had his own business to take care of, so he just held fast for a moment. To his surprise, the crowd began to part as they heard the sound like a threatening wind through a thick forest sweeping before this leper. With that, the leper moved forward toward the one at the center of the crowd. He watched as this man, this leper, slowly approached the one called Jesus. With pure compassion in his eyes, he drew him forward, until at last the leper stood the required distance from him. He dared not get closer. Chase could almost sense the wordless communication between the two as suddenly the leper fell to the ground before him. Then he heard that word he had dared not speak himself, but which had hid beneath his lips. Lord rang through the crowd as if it was meant for his ears alone. All else seems now to fade as Chase was alone in his thoughts and raging internal battle. It had led up to this very moment. He knew it. It had to be now or never. Could he just ride away? Forget what he had said? Forget what he had heard? the word inside his own head? Could he go on fighting what he knew to be the truth? What about Jason? What about his word? What about the words he was sure he had spoken to him by God himself? His escape into his thoughts was broken as the leper was coming back his way. But wait, the crowd wasn't moving back this time. No, in fact, they were pressing in. They were touching him. Now, as he stood there before him, how could this be? No more sores. No more sorrow in his eyes. No more pain upon his face. This man stood before Chase, clearly changed, visibly healed. He looked into his eyes as if his answer was there and then realized it wasn't. It was in the same place the leper had found his. Warmth washed over Chase now. He knew what he must do. He knew now why God had told him in his dreams to come here for Jason's sake. His gaze moved from the man before him to one who stood a short distance away with a look that now drew him forward as it had the leper. As the crowd's attention seemed to follow the former leper, Chase dismounted, walked toward the crowd. It parted for him as it had for the leper moments before, still out of fear but a different kind. The leper for what they might catch, and Chase for what they might suffer. He soon found himself face to face with this man called Jesus. A smaller crowd in the very center watched his every move. What was the centurion going to do with their master? What was his business here? Without thought or hesitation, Chase fell to his knees and let the word he had been struggling with burst forth. Lord, he said. A smile burst forth upon his face, for he suddenly felt all the fear and reservations that had fed that burning fire of doubt within him disappear. Then again, so all could hear, he said, Lord. After many moments of bowed silence, Chase slowly raised his head, looked into the eyes of the one he had called Lord. He struggled trying to speak, for he had never in his life felt so unworthy. This from a man known for intimidating others with his power and his presence. He was now in such awe of the one who stood before him, he dared not speak. Jesus gently touched him, and a peace flowed through him like nothing he had ever known. He now experienced for himself that wordless communication he had sensed when watching the leper before. It was as if the Lord spoke into his heart, words of encouragement and acceptance. Chase began to relate how he was there for his servant Jason, who he could no longer bear to see suffer, how he believed with all his heart that Jesus could heal him and set him free from that which held him paralyzed and the fear that tormented him day and night. The Lord looked longingly into Chase's eyes and said, I will go with you. With a heavy sigh, Chase humbly said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Knowing his position, even more sensing the true royalty of who he was kneeling before, he explained how he too was a person of authority. Sensing Jesus' total authority, he told him how his orders were followed simply by people hearing them. So he said, Lord, if you but speak it, it will be done. I know it will. The Lord was very pleased and somewhat taken back as he told those near him, faith like this is unseen, even among those who should see it easiest. Jesus turned to Chase the centurion and said, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. Chase found out later that at that very moment, Jason had begun to be healed. He walked back through the crowd, who somehow now sensed there was nothing to fear from this man. He, like the leper, walked through the crowd to Jesus, one man, and returned a new man. Chase mounted his horse, left that day clearly changed from his own act of compassion for his servant, but eventually from his total acknowledgement of Jesus as Lord. Chase was right in believing that these events were about something far more important than him or Jason or the crowd that watched that day. In the end, Chase's story is ours because it is recorded in God's holy word. It is there for us to draw strength from, to know we can risk it all for the true master. We can intercede for others and have them healed by but the word from Jesus. We will never know what it cost this centurion to call Jesus Lord that day, but I believe with all my heart that Chase would act in the same way again, even if he knew ahead of time it might cost everything. He in his own way sacrificed for his friend that day, maybe with his life. We'll never know. For as a soldier, he so clearly knew the battle within him was over and a prize had been won that no cost was too great to attain. His life was now his. None could take it from him. He had come face to face with God, walked away totally changed, and his servant had been set free. The battle rages here inside. Where do I run? Where do I hide? One side of me says it is right. Other doesn't seem to even fight. It's just there as if to say, go ahead, you fool, look away. I know it's right, but I can't see how I can change and not be me. The me that I've been taught is real, but have lately doubted. What's the deal? Can change take place? Can it really be? Is he truly able? Is he what I see? I've heard of him. I know his name. Will I really never be the same? I've lived and died, but by the sword. Now how can I just call him Lord? That could cost me my very life, my job, my children, even my wife. This world doesn't just let you go. They make it clear so you will know. They must be wrong if you are right, and for this reason, you, they fight. To stop this power that's grown in you, persecute and kill you, they will do. Whatever it takes, I somehow know, his love is all I want to show. And there is no cost that's too great. This is my life, this is my fate. I've called him Lord, for such he is, and I am here to tell you this. He'll set you free from what holds you fast, and give you peace that will forever last.